And so this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over.
We're going to regret this.
And a new one just begun.
Going to begun if we survive.
And so happy Christmas. And happy New Year.
He's staring in my eyes while he's singing this.
Let's hope it's a good one.
With plenty of beers.
I was going to say without any beer, but that's okay, Dan.
No, I don't want the beer. I'm not having the fucking beers.
Welcome to Hang On To Your Hat Christmas Special Grand Finale of 2019.
Bad Daddy, you're a naughty boy.
These days, fatherhood is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that blokes haven't tried. If you're not a father, you've got a father. You're a son of a dad or a daughter of a bloke. But either way, being a dad is no picnic. The fear, the anger, the confusion and, well, the love, of course. Oh. Derek Myers and Dan Lee, together with their special guests, are here to share the highs and lows, the joys and the agony of being a modern dad. But most of all, to let you know that you're not alone.
Hey, Dan, do you remember the episode Genesis or Metamorphosis?
Yes, I do.
It was our first Hang On To Your Hat episode.
It was too, and we bridged it into as the last episode of the
What Now?
What Now? Yeah. The two of us rant about horrifying subjects.
Do you know what year that was?
1911.
It was this year. Right. It was like about a decade.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was this year.
Have you looked at photos of yourself pre-children and after children? It's like Obama after coming out of the White House. Like, me and Sam, Missy look like we've aged 40 years.
It is. It's like the app.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's an app that makes you look 30 years older.
So horrible.
Oh, yeah, that's what kids do. They fuck you up. Yep. I've got a full grey beard,
actually,
but I've got a grey beard.
Look at mine.
Yeah,
like I'm full white.
Jesus. Must have got a fright. You went white overnight.
I went white. I've got a wizard. I have a long white wizard beard.
That was. I cancelled all of the very, very – Hugh Jackman. I said, no, sorry, Hugh. We're going to have to cancel. I want to spend some time.
Fucking relax. We'll get to him, all right?
Yeah, settle down.
Jesus.
I just want to talk to Dan today, wish him a happy Christmas, and thanks for a fantastic year of shows.
Yeah. Might not have survived without this, doing this for me personally.
Yeah.
Because Luna was, about six? No, no. Oh, well, Luna was born when we were doing What Now, I think.
Yes.
And then, but she's like 16 months now or something, so.
Wow, good Lord.
This year has spanned the most of the trials and tribulations of.
Podcasting. Sit there, talk it out.
Yeah. That's so fantastic. She'll have this as a charming document that she'll have to, I'll force her to listen to.
Yes.
They probably just won't care, will they? They'll go.
They'll either won't care or they'll lawyer up, you know. It'll be one or the other. Depends what you say.
Yeah.
but it started off awesomely. I just want to go, I know it sounds boring and formatty and like one of those episodes of The Simpsons where you go, hang on a minute, this is not a new episode. This is bits and bobs of everything.
Cobbled it together.
Yeah, but. Scott, our first, wasn't it? Did we recorded Sean first, but we did Scott first? Like, what happened?
We put Scott first. I don't know why we did that. Who knows?
Because he's famous.
Probably.
Sean's famous.
Well, he is in a certain, sector of the community,
We asked Sean if he could be our first guy so we could find out if we could actually interview people.
That's right.
We can't. All we can do is sit and talk to people.
One, that's what we've tried. Well, and we've tried to... we've gotten a bit better at not just rambling about our own shit.
Oh.
Well, a bit better. We sort of listen to other people sometimes.
Yeah, I think listening has... I'm a different person in the last 12 months.
Yeah. I want to learn to listen well, But people are so fucking boring.
It's hard because in my mind, I've got much better things to say than what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, will you finish this sentence so I can cut you off? Anyway, I reckon I've become a better person. I let people finish their sentences sometimes.
Yeah.
More often than used to.
Yeah. So do I more often. Chicks love it, apparently, when you listen to them.
I'm going to run through our guests from this year, right? Let's do this.
Have we done this before, though? I feel like we've done
it. I tried to do it before. It failed.
Oh, it failed.
Right?
Okay.
But But Scott Edgar from the
Tripod.
Yeah, excellent comedy trio.
Yeah, and he gave us that thing that I keep referring to about, what is it? What did he say?
It was a beauty.
Oh,
and you always say, as Scott says.
Yeah, the screen, the social media will be the thalidomide of our generation.
Is that meaning, was his one?
That was one of his, meaning that, you know, we won't realise the damaging effects of it until, you know, we won't be as nauseous, but, you know.
Who said we are just whipping posts for kids to practice being grown up and being mean to other people?
Scott said about, but he's a stand-in for the world.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry, I might have interpreted it in a really bad way.
But that's the other way around. It's not them whipping him. It's more him being able to kind of give them a bit of what the world's really like, which is a bit of erraticness and a bit of – and I've hung on to those words.
Yeah.
Because big part of what I've had to learn in this year, which I've gotten better with, is accepting my shortcomings.
Mm.
And knowing and part of being able to do that has been that thing about giving the kids a realistic impression of the world. And the world isn't, when they leave home, it's not going to be just everyone smiling at them and wanting to know their opinion and being enthralled by every word they say. Sometimes you're going to come up against people who have lives of their own and are more interested in their own stuff than yours. Shock horror. So if I'm a little bit of a fucking asshole or distracted sometimes, as long as I can address that and as long as I can make up for it and be honest about it. I've used that to feel better. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter got Grinched this week.
What does that mean?
Speaking of Christmas. Grinched is the word that I use for either inadvertently or whatever, blowing out the whole Santa thing. Too soon. She's 9.
Oh, as in she found out the truth.
She didn't find out the truth, but someone at her school followed around poking her, realizing she was a heavy climate denier, right? And walked around and just kept on pestering her and saying, Santa's not real, Santa's not real, Santa's not real, until she burst into tears. And at bedtime, when she's extra tired, she just lost it, complete meltdown.
And what did you
do? And afterwards, Fiona said to me, well, as long as we don't lie to her, I went, oh.
Dude. All we've done is lie.
Whoops, yeah. Why change now? But but it was like, look, I said to her, look, when someone does that, they might have their own problems and they just, it's like remote control. They want to feel like they, if someone loses, how much psych stuff do you want to do with your little kids? But it's like, okay, your friend at school might have more problems than someone running around torturing them about Santa, right? And they just feel they need to control something in their life, and making you cry might be the option. I mean, it's a classic bullying thing. And you know what she said? And this is... She didn't say too much, right? But she said, I don't want to talk about her and what she did to me. I just am upset about Santa, right? And she refused to go down the road. And because she was already on to what I was telling her. Like, the girl at school, her business is her business, and I know it. I know what her problems are, and leave her alone. It was like amazing. Right. I nearly started crying. I was like, wow, you're amazing.
But how did you? But you still deflected the truth. What did you tell her?
That wasn't then. It was later on at bedtime when it was a meltdown.
Oh, okay.
But I did. And so what she was just focused on being upset. And when I left her, she was whispering, "Santa's real. Santa's real. Santa's real. And she would have gone to sleep like that, trying to reprogram her mind.
But you haven't. So you still haven't.
No. I didn't go. Yeah, you're right. And Tom was awesome. He's on the top bunk just going, God, who knows? He's in that position where he's made it long enough to be smart enough to go, do not let them know that you don't believe.
Yeah, because the presents might dry up.
Shit might go wrong.
Who gives a fuck about the old fella?
I've been on a program for years. I've always said, I said, we get you the good presents. Santa gets you a few things. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. I said to Fiona from the beginning, I said, I'm not raising children to give all their gratitude to a fucking mythical guy who owns Toys R Us, right?
Yeah, but one day they'll realise it was you.
For the toy. No, they know now.
Hmm.
Well, they know the good stuff's me, and I'm open about that.
Yeah.
I'm not giving away the credit. It's like, I think one of the kids may have been joking, but at tea time I said, like, let's thank Mum. That was a beautiful dinner. And one of them went, oh, let's thank Jesus. And I said, Jesus didn't stand here and cook it.
Right. Lazy bastard.
I was like, whoa, oh, steady Jesus. On.
Yeah, like, but, look, I think when they find out and their little old hearts break and that Santa's, you know, the reality, I again think that that's not so bad because they have to start understanding that life can be disappointing. Life can be cruel. Life can be. I mean, we don't want to shield them from. Like people can go, oh, well, we don't want to lie to them ever, so we're not going to do the Santa thing. But the world, in general, what's better to do is to teach them how to have the resilience to cope with all these things that are unpredictable, and maybe people told you a fib and they had reasons, so that they learn some analytical, and it's like learning self-soothing. They have to learn a way to get a philosophical mind about what's happened. Because if they just blame you for the rest of their life because you didn't tell them that, then there's something else going on that's where there's you've failed.
Everyone accepts it. It's like being in the pool. Let's face it. Yeah. It's like, all right, they lied to me. Now I'm going to lie to my kids. Everything will be fair and square. When you get in the pool and you can't breathe, your heart stops and your lungs don't work.
Yeah.
And it's so cold. What do you say to you? What do you say to the people that aren't in the pool?
Hmm.
Come in. It's nice. Right? In between occasional heartbeats.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They pass it off.
Don't give them the impression that human beings, and adults particularly, are going to be these grinning automatons that can do no wrong because that also sets them up for being exploited by other adults, you know? Like, look, my parents were perfect.
Do you think so Santa's
surely
a way
this
of
guy
learning,
with the tinted windows.
Learning that they're going to get bullshitted too in life and get used to it.
Yes, I do. And that's okay. You're going to have to deal with that. Yeah. You're going to have to deal with it. And that there's not just all lies are bad or whatever, that there's nuance in everything.
Yeah.
People do certain things and that, and it might have been wrong or they might regret it or they might have been doing it to protect you or whatever. We already live in a fucking you're with us or against us world.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah. So anyway, all that's good. A big part for me has been getting over the fear of how I'm damaging them, all that sort of shit. I feel different from when we started this in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel as... And maybe because the good times have been better and I've been able, when I am able, I've been able to spend time with them focused and good time, you know.
Call it magical energy or Reiki or whatever, but wanting.
I'm going to go with magical energy.
Wanting to be okay, I think gives you joy. If you were some weird hillbilly crazy trash that lived off corn grits and distilled, and but you cared and you did your best for your kids, even if it meant feuding with the next family or whatever. I think there's an essence, like a magical property, that comes across anyway. So compared to being like, you know, an uber rich kind of person who just doesn't.
Intention and context matters.
Yeah,
and they need to know that.
Yeah,
that nothing is as it appears.
Yeah.
Nothing is simple. People aren't simple. It's like people aren't all villainous. And, you know, this is how you get these villains in history is when you either believe that people can do no evil, like that good people aren't evil or evil and evil people aren't good.
Yeah.
You know, that's so dangerous. It allows it all to happen. When you realize that everyone has the potential, given the right circumstances or the right belief, you know, it's like most horrific people. Well, I don't know about it. There's probably a line, but most people think that they're doing the right thing.
Well, I guess as warped as
it
so.
Might be to them, they might think that they're the master race and that's the right thing. But in their head, they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Not all of them, maybe. Look, I don't know, but I just don't believe in the simplicity of evil. Put it that way.
Yeah.
And anyway, so kids getting an understanding of the world slowly, gradually through you and your shortcomings is probably a good thing before they learn about Hitler and
Idi Amin. Speaking of kids getting information about the world and themselves as they go on, our second episode
Oh, that was beautiful.
Sean, did you like my segue?
That was lovely.
It could easily be an electronic device you stand on and as you push forward to go forward in Canberra. Mm. Right. Sean, that was awesome. Like, Sean came in and we talked about his father and Vietnam vet and things like that and how he'd died when Sean was relatively young, not a kid, but a young adult, you know.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. But then it went on to the fact that he was a sperm donor.
Yeah.
And opened up a whole nother voyage of education for me. I don't know about you, but and then the conversation about really what happens when a lesbian couple raise a child with a sperm donor that they is known to them, and all the the decisions and even just the words used.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, the child is being raised without a father, not an absent father, without a father. The child's being raised with two mothers and all this kind of thing. It was amazing. Opened up a whole thing. We've still.
It's different for everyone.
Well, I think they've had another baby since then.
Yeah.
And to the same, from the same batch or the same.
I think the upshot of that episode was that the people in that situation have to put a whole lot more thought into having a child than.
That's the thing, isn't it? It can't be an accident for a start. It can't be a brief decision. It's such a lot of effort in all this. And IVF people, the same thing goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else did I take out of that? It was pretty I guess it really opened up the variety of different ways to sow a seed, I guess, you know, not just techniques, but
no.
Different types of fathers. Like, oh, my God, I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be bigger than Texas. And I've chatted with a few double dads in England who adopt and stuff like that and chatted about having them online and obviously been a crazy year, which we'll get to later, but we haven't got around to that yet. But 2020, we'll be laying down some pretty amazing interviews all over the world. That was awesome. And just all the – I enjoyed all of your family all this year. Let's just cover them all once. So, your father-in-law, I think, came first. And your brother.
Dr. Higgins came
in. Your brother was first.
My brother a couple of times, dad a couple of times.
And it was great to get that whole – all these different angles from one thing. I think it created a better picture from a grandfather's perspective, a father's perspective of young, wild boys and what you do.
And it personally gave me some insight. You know? I heard stuff, and we had a lot of conversations because of this podcast going, you know, outside of this podcast. But and I'm sure we've talked about this before, actually. But that was really good for me, just personally.
Yeah.
So,
and also the single dad kind of what would you call it? A split up, you know. Separate parenting. What do you want to call it?
We lived with mum mainly, but so mum was the
And that channel went through a few guests as well. There was I like Brett Cousins because he seemed to have it. It just seemed kind of perfect, didn't it?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Missy and I were talking.
We have to get him back on the show. Make sure it's still perfect.
We were talking about that the other day, Missy and I, that because we've started to divide and conquer a little bit, especially when they're sick or there's difficulty, because what we've realised. And you have to kind of be a bit grown up about things to realise this, but sometimes it is easier not to have both of us there.
You've got to keep your powder dry, keep one person fresh.
Yes, there's that, but also, and like with me, with my focus issues, when I'm there, look, there's sometimes when you've got two, you just have to have two of you. It's hard, you know.
Yeah.
You need the extra help.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can be easier, especially if it's just one of them, because when the disadvantage of us both being there is that when I'm trying to spend the time with Sammy and Missy's there, it's just more headspace. I'm concerned about her as well as about him. I'm concerned about Luna, and they're just taking up space in my head where otherwise if it was just me and Sammy, you know what I mean?
It's about a little bit of bandwidth about parenting style being viewed as well.
Yeah,
surely.
Yep. And I'm conscious of my parenting while Missy's there because she's, you know, and we. So being honest about how sometimes it's easier not to be together.
And it's much easier to say, don't tell your mum.
Yeah, you can subtly indoctrinate them. But that has been useful. We're starting to do that a bit. Sometimes it's easier to just, I go with Sammy for a couple of days or whatever and split that up.
Yeah.
And that's based on what Brett was saying about being a single parent.
Yeah.
There's upsides to it.
It was the Anzac Day fail that we were talking about. Remember we had a recap episode?
Yeah, that's right.
After like four episodes.
We did talk about some of these though. That's why we should talk about the later ones.
Yeah. So I'm going to run through. Then we had Ben Tuffy Lee for his first time. And then Jason, my brother-in-law. That was awesome because he was talking about-
Grew up in the circus.
He grew up in the circus. Well, that was a surprise to him. Like, I remember three quarters of the way through, he went, why haven't you told us this before? He had some amazing stories about the circus. But he's been raising three daughters, not on his own, but his wife has the big job. So he's the
Which is interesting because he was raised by women.
Yes.
Mainly.
Yeah.
He had very few male role models in the circus. Yeah. He was raised by women and now he's raising three girls.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. Yeah. Obviously, people can go back and listen to all these too if they haven't heard any of them.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Mm. And also moving whole countries and different education systems and stuff and dealing with when your kid's in a education system like in Singapore and, you know, the kids are getting hardcore pressure.
Yeah,
tears, you know, like at school, the academic system, coming back here and what do you do? It's fascinating. What do you do? Do they end up cocky? Like I know I went from a really hardcore school to a more caring, easygoing school.
Yeah.
And I learnt that day that I didn't have to do anything anymore. Yeah. So it was damaging. So I'm acutely aware of that as well. The danger of being, you know, smarter and being an irresponsible, cocky prick. But that was awesome.
Tuffy talked about suicide too. That was interesting. Oh, maybe that was the second one.
Yeah.
We talked about those sorts of...
came back to talk
about. Those sorts of issues inside families and how you deal with talking to kids about that if that happens in a family or even just depression or you know.
Well, something... And that brings me right across to our last episode with Daniel Donahue.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing about... your kids, eventually, you have to discuss stuff that you don't want to discuss, you know, and that was a difficult episode, but awesome. I got so much from Daniel.
It's very good to really talk about that stuff, I think. It's hard at first, but it does us good. He lost one of his children, one of his kids died. He had four boys.
At the age of something like 14.
14 or something like that. So, and then it was interesting because he's the boys... The other boys are all very different ages, from 5 through to, 18 or something.
Yeah, 17,
So he couldn't shield them from the unpredictability of death and all that stuff. And so tried to go into it with as consciously and as he could and the different ways the different aged kids deal with it. And
I keep crying because – my son's just got into Fortnite again, and there was a moment. I'm gonna go again now, but there was a moment when he said, "You know, sometimes I just open up Fortnite and play it as he would have." And it was like, "Oh my god!" And when my son's going, "Oh, can I have one more game?" And I'm going, "Stop asking me for more!" And then I go, "Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, I'm lucky."
And it's beautiful to see someone. I'm so impressed with Daniel and his boys and his family and how they've dealt with it because, I don't know, I just find it hopeful when people can not avoid these things and try to kind of – that they haven't tried to forget.
And a huge – they go, I know this is good – sitting here is good therapy, but also a huge, huge thanks to him for coming and sharing it because it's helping everybody who listens to it.
Yeah.
You know, and just go, oh, this is how it can be. This is, let's enjoy every moment sort of thing as well.
Yeah, and exactly. And look at what's really important. And that he sort of really challenged all that stuff about endings too. And what's, you know, this is the real thing and this is the unreal thing and you avoid this, you do that. It's all... As soon as you're a father of a child or you're the child of a father, whether you are alive or dead, you're both.
Yeah.
You are you are connected forever. You are alive to each other. Like if I die, when I die, Mike, hopefully and presumably, well, they won't be able to avoid it. I remain part of their existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in a way, actually letting yourself kind of celebrate that and promote it helps keep you kind of, it just helps. It seems as painful and not shying away from the pain. I mean, he was in a situation where you can't bloody avoid it. I mean, this is
well, that's it. I mean, if you're if the official time to stop believing in Santa is when you're 12,
right?
There's no official time to stop believing in eternal life.
Yeah.
Well, I know. All right. So, all right. Most religions do believe that, but what I mean is immortality.
Yeah.
So, you can get it. You know? And if you're not ready, then you've got a very difficult conversation on your hands.
Yeah, yeah. And that was followed by Anthony talking about mortality and death and his illness.
It was amazing because we did Anthony first, which was also not an easy one, but he he's not so much matter of fact, but it's like, well, this is how it is.
He's someone who's been when we were talking to him,
it takes a long time in your own mind to get to that point, though. That's what you think, oh, my God, that guy's just cool with it. No, he's not cool with it. He's
been embedded in this thing. And and sitting here with him, you have that sense that of how it really is going on for people.
Yes.
Well, the rest of us are shielded from it, but he's been in the company of death one way or another for the last 7 years.
Mm.
Totally all the time, and he went through all sorts of stages and things with it, but he talks then with a candidness and a kind of a sort of enviable acceptance that is quite extraordinary.
Well, what I don't envy is the journey towards that acceptance.
God. No. Right?
And also the illness.
But again, look, most people who've dealt with extremely difficult things come out with some kind of, it's a hell of a price.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so that was really good. Yeah. All that stuff helps me anyway.
And I loved having Warwick, like the oldies that we've had in.
Mm.
Okay, Warwick's probably not that much different from my age.
Yeah.
Right, but he come in, he's got adult.
Yeah.
He's got adult children. That was great to have a chat with him about that.
And yeah.
Just fresh out of that journey.
Yeah.
You might talk to Terry Lee and Dr. Higgins and stuff like that, but it's a fair while now since they've been through that. And it's a different world. Like he's fresh out of that journey with Facebook, with, computer games, with all the latest traumas that you have to face up to. That was great.
And I felt for him with his regret that his, film and television careers make it really very difficult. To be around in any reliable way, and he had very open and honest regrets about that. And
yeah, it was hard because your instinct was to. I don't know if you felt the same. My instinct was to go, no, you did that's how it is. You did your best and rah rah rah, but you don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know, do you?
Yeah, and I imagine you would always be questioning whether you should be doing that career, but then it's your thing, it's your passion, it's the thing you do.
And
it's his thing.
And they're still around, and they've got another 50 years to go of him being their dad. So my takeaway from that was let's not do stuff that we don't want to do to avoid future regrets.
Yes.
I think that can really control you.
It's a balance.
I'm going to regret this. Sometimes I say, all right, let's take you to the doctor because I'll really regret it.
Right.
If I go poo poo, it's just a headache.
Yeah.
And it's worse, right? Yeah. And that's that kind of regret. But I'm talking let's not do it. I'm not gonna regret not working. I'm on the other side of him. I'm not gonna regret not working 80 hours a day to make a better house and stuff like that. I would probably regret doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be physically broken.
Like in true ironic form, and this has happened to lots of people I know, but, I finally get some – I sort of began my theatre career the year Luna was born. I had my first play – I had a play in LA and a play here, and I've got these other plays you know. But everything all sort of started as the kids arrived. So I've been struggling with that thing, because to be really immersed in theatre stuff too, and there's really no money in that, is very hard. So I've been going between, I'm just at the moment realising that I do need to keep doing some creative work, because I've gone, no, I'm not going to do it because I need to focus on the kids. But if I don't,
you won't be a very interesting daddy.
Well, and also be kind of irritable, because it is the only thing in my life that I've found that I in terms of work, terms of engage, you know, that sort of stuff, that I really have given a shit about, and I've done a lot of different jobs, you know, and so I've got to balance that somehow. If I don't do it at all, I'll be a cranky asshole.
But as long as this train of thought isn't all about avoiding regret.
You're
looking for results, not lack of regret, because it's not about you. It's about, well, Luna.
Well, that's right. So we spend a lot of time thinking about how we feel about it.
Well, that was my
kids.
Takeaway from that. And, I thought, you know, I was like, all right, you think it's when they're 18, that's over. That's kind of when it begins for a lot of dads, a lot of distant dads or what dads that have been kept away from their kids, or dads that have been offshore or whatever, or just find out, and lots of different things. There's plenty of years to go.
Yeah.
And once again, it's that energy that might travel across. It was like, you know, you see it in the movies. How about Jeff, though, Richie? That was a bit of a coup. I loved that this year.
Yeah.
Because we had
before and after.
I ran into Jeff at a 40th birthday party, and his missus was ready to pop. She was flat out super preggers. I think she had 2 weeks to go or something like that. Mm. And I said, oh, God, I should get you on our fatherhood podcast, get you while you're all dazed and confused. And he went, yeah, all right. And he came in. It was awesome. Have a listen to that one and then listen to his next one.
But the first one we were getting, because he was going, oh, I think it'll be all right. It's all, we're going to do a home birth and we're going to do this. And you and I are both going, right. Oh, get back to us in a couple of weeks, mate, blah, blah, blah. And then so we did.
Yeah.
And it all went beautifully.
Beautifully. Yeah.
And he looked fresh as a daisy.
Oh.
It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, well, maybe
good, I've aged like Obama in the White House.
People deserve good treatments from God, but they went. Yeah,
he looks younger.
It went really well. They did a home birth in a water thing, like a pool, in a blow up pool in the middle of the house, and everything went swimmingly. Sorry. Yeah, look, we touched on the general swamp matter.
Oh, that's true. No, that's true. He did.
I said, did you put
your goggles on?
Put your goggles on. He's like, no, I wasn't going to put my head in there.
Yeah.
But that's not the focus. The focus is a beautiful, healthy child that they got out of. And it was great. It was just so good to get the both sides of that journey. So he's probably going to be our consistent return.
Yeah.
I'd like to have everyone back, but that's going to be great. We've got him. We got him at the beginning. Like those people that take photos of their kid on their every birthday
for
years and make an animation. Mm. Yeah, stuff like that. We'll get him.
Yeah.
We talked about Anthony. That was amazing journey.
So what was
– Uncle Jack. Can I talk about Uncle Jack?
Yeah.
That was great. It was great to have Uncle Jack in.
Yeah.
He was releasing his book, so he was available to have a chat with us, and you know him. He was in your play.
Yeah.
And
he's just an adorable.
It was just great. It was just great to have him in, and that feeling of that feeling that he was like the father of Aboriginal theatre kind of thing.
And all those different kind of paternal
vibes to the community and all that.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And, good for me.
Yeah.
I've been saying hi to him around the streets on his little electric bike for years. It was great to have him.
Fucking one of a kind, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really
gets
is.
Around.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man.
I hope his book's doing well.
Oh, yeah.
You brought your personal trainer in.
Yeah.
that was cool. It was great to chat to Nick.
Yeah, yeah. You were,
and dealing with like small business and stuff like that. That was a great chat.
Yeah, well, that was because we're always in there talking about our kids while we're pumping iron, you know.
Two different ends of the spectrum were Hugh Van Kylenberg.
Yeah, from the Resilience Project. That's right.
Or Stu Van Oh, I can't remember. I was listening to his podcast. He was, oh, yeah. Did you hear that? He was talking about
walking bird or something. Yeah. Cycling bird.
Yeah, Stu Van cycling bird. And that was amazing. Getting to talk about vulnerability with him, and considering he's the king of resilience, discussing resilience.
The Imperfects is the podcast. His podcast you were referring to.
Yeah, and that's huge. That's going really well.
And he's I spoke to him a few days ago, and they're sort of because their second child's coming shortly, and the first one's a handful, so he's really going to be calling on all his resilience stuff here.
can we reenact? I'll be him, and then I'll jump in as me and you. Ready? And you can be in it. And we'll reenact. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Ready? I'm trying to think. What did he say? He said, now.
Apparently,
tell me, guys, will the second one be twice as hard as the.
No. He said, so apparently the second one's can be twice, is like twice as hard. No, it's twice as hard having two.
Question. Yeah.
Is that right?
Is that right?
And we said, no.
No.
It's four or five times his heart.
Yeah.
And his little old heart broke. That was terrible. I felt genuinely bad about that.
Oh, it's all right. He'll be right.
He'll be all right. I'm staying in touch with him.
The first one's built up more calluses.
See, really. The thing with Hugh, too, is that he's about vulnerability and he's about being very much himself. He's not trying to pretend he's sort of the anti Tony Robbins, in a way. Well, he's certainly not pretending to be, you know, all powerful and all knowing. I mean, it's the opposite. No. But the problem with that is that you're still then having to go up in front of other people, lots of people. There's the pressure of being someone that people listen to, but you're not talking about how perfect you are. Do you know what I mean? Mm. If your whole thing's vulnerability and not being, then that's. That's what you are. It's going to get harder and harder to justify hiding any of that. So he's going to be an open book, I think, as he has a second kid. Therefore, he may come in and talk to us again.
I hope so. It's always good. Maybe he'll come and say, "You guys are full of shit." It's only one and a half times.
Let's hope he has the Guy Ritchie effect. Guy Ritchie effect, and you know the second one's a breeze.
Yeah.
That'll be the case.
Going back again, I'm going to run through it. Pip Norman from TZU.
Oh, yeah.
He's having a musician engineer. That was a.
Yeah, yeah.
Got some stuff, some interesting parallels about trying to run a business.
Yeah.
You know, trying to work it in to parenting.
Yeah, active
parenting, a business that's, you know, audio engineering, which is sort of similar to what I do here.
Yeah.
And that was great to hear all that stuff and chat with Pip.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed
that. That must have been just after we spoke to
Jason.
No, Mantra, Rob.
No, that was before Mantra.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the week after we spoke to Mantra, which was great.
Yeah.
So he had a new baby?
He had that extraordinary experience of his father getting sick and dying.
Oh, yeah.
Just prior to him having his first child.
Yeah.
His partner, who had just started seeing, basically his father got sick almost immediately, and so he and her, kind of in their early stages of their relationship, was spent in this kind of intense period of, you know, of him dealing with his father's end of life story, and then having their kids. So it was a very,
and that was that story was what made me wonder, and also his once again like. Anthony Breslin and
Daniel
last week. I think that's what started me thinking about people who write or people who create, and in some cases us now talking about stuff.
Mm.
Get your mind active. Like it's like a muscle. It's like suddenly going, if you suddenly do rock climbing, your arms are going to hurt, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's active. So, they kind of just started thinking it's like a young rapper.
Right.
You think a young rapper would have low coping skills because they're rap. What are they doing? I don't know, what do rap people do? But then you realize that, no, it's a young creative, a writer who's processing words, things that happen, observing the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? It made me start realizing his coping skills, later on, he's able to process what's happened and look on the bright side.
You've tried to be consciously aware of your emotional contact with the world and the, you know, anywhere where you're writing about your, you know, what's going on for you and what life's like for
you. Yeah, that sort of triggered that for me, that sort of thought.
That makes sense, yeah.
Tommy Jacket came on from the Daily Talk Show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those guys are gangbusters. They've gone, they've just gone and done a bunch of shows in LA. And come back, and they're getting some pretty high profile guests, including me.
When they were on, on Santa Monica Pier or something.
But they do their thing, and they're awesome. I like to hear them just crapping on. I've got become addicted, sit in the car in the morning and just listen.
Yeah, I got to go in there and just wildly make
they
a,
want
make
you
up some
there.
Shit.
They want you and me. They want you and me in there.
Yeah,
And to do a double team. Maybe old versus young. I don't know what their plan is. They'll put you under the bus if they get
you. You mean like old you, old me, young? Right.
Hardy, hardy,
hardy. Be, go easy
but
on this.
Tommy was great because, you know, I get to hear about his parenting journey through things that he says on his podcast. But then it was great. Is that a baby bottle?
It's a baby bottle.
It's a fucking hell, Daniel.
It's got my medicine in it.
Some dignity. So,
bottle's got measuring things on it.
It was great to hear Tom sit there and talk with us about that.
Yeah.
Because we're parents and that's what
we're
talking
about. And he was so full of ideas and hope and kind of like and courage and positivity, which is quite shocking to Generation X's like us.
Thoroughly recommend.
Who have thrived on cynicism and
Tommy Jacket. And check out the Daily Talk Show too. Yeah. And Terry, the boss of the Lee clan.
Yeah, the old man.
The old man. That was great. And it was, you know what, that was a great chat. And now I'm glad, but it was only, I think at the end, that I kind of realized because we did that thing where I go in naive journalism, I call my laziness, that he's a child psychologist.
Yeah.
And was, you know, was part of the team that were putting together different types of schooling and stuff. That was amazing. And he felt, I think, after that as well, he had more to say about some of these topics, which brought him in later on. Which was great to go into that stuff.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the difference between just having a chat with your dad at a cafe or at Christmas or when you go over for dinner, and the difference between that and actually putting a microphone there is that for some reason, and because you were an outsider, they phrase things and tell stories in a different way, and suddenly you get stuff that they probably assumed you already knew, things like that.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly recommend anyone out there to, before their parents get too old, go with a microphone.
Yes.
And record. Don't just go and say, tell me about your life. Because they'll just make assumptions. But as soon as there's a mic, if they'll do it.
You have to guide it.
Yeah. But if there's a microphone and there's a very subtle, innate thing of this will be heard by other people possibly. Mm. So they give you a bit more specific detail than they otherwise would, and you'll get, even if you never show it to anyone else.
My dad's quite old and he forgets things.
Right.
And I took microphones out to him.
Yeah.
Partly to try it out, like a guinea pig. I was visiting anyway. And I did the same thing, but you've got to guide it because they go to the same stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And all this shit that no one had ever known came out. Not emotional shit.
No.
Like I admit it. I did not have the courage to push for interesting content and I wasn't looking for anything, any emotional feelings or anything like that. But it was amazing to hear the whole, to really keep guiding it back. Tell me, you know, to really do that interviewing, I was just practicing on him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got some stuff on tape
that
is amazing and it's about the history of
good thing to do.
How he and explains a lot of things, even without having to discuss it with him.
Yeah.
It explains a lot of things. You know, like his father's and his father's father. His father was marched down at the age of 14 and forced to be Fitter and Turner, and his only passion was working with wood. But Fitter and Turner is metal.
Oh, right. And
he had to do it.
And that it's about which queue you joined, I think.
It was
Billy
amazing.
Connolly
said, yeah. But, and that was amazing. And I backed Danny up there. I thoroughly recommend chucking a microphone.
Yeah, before they go, you know, because you might never use it, you might never listen to it. But if nothing else, you've made that, and I reckon they probably really, they might not say it, but they appreciate that you give a shit.
My dad said, "Wow, that's amazing! It was great to tell." And plus, with we'll call it forgetfulness for now, right?
Yeah.
With that, there's a thrill in being able to talk for an hour. Without anyone going, shutting you down for telling your stories for a start.
Right.
But also without anyone putting pressure on for you to remember anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're driving the train, and if you're smart enough, you can guide them to, let's stick to 1950, the 1950s, right? So jazz.
Well, that's what I mean about it being focused, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Bobby Flower.
Oh, yeah, he's a cracker.
I had a great time. I had him on What Now? I've had him on the Good Paddock.
He's got that great accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Great comedic accent.
It's amazing to hear his stories in and out of because I've chatted with him a lot. I don't know what was on the show and what wasn't, but it's just great to follow his journey with his children as they reach adulthood and his pride in them and what he's taught them. And now his
and then
next
also,
part of
what
his
do
journey.
You do after that? Like exactly. Suddenly you've got the, wow, I could actually do this or that. You know,
do they define me and now I'm lost? Or have I been a great, you know, have I not adventured because of them, but it's fine because now I'm going to do it? I think he might be in Mexico.
He's in Mexico now, probably. He's probably running a fucking.
Love your Bob, wherever you are.
Yeah. I imagine he's opened a little bar, a cantina in Mexico, and he's sitting there in a kind of.
Is that how you imagine it?
Like, I imagine him in one of those sort of floral shirts that pilots driving Cessnas full of drugs.
What's the movie that every bloke, every footy player says is their favourite movie?
Oh,
come on. It's a prison movie with.
The old guy
and Tim.
Shawshank Redemption.
The Shawshank, right? Yeah. Every footy player's his favorite movie. But at the end of that, is that where they're on an island? They've got away and they got all the money, and that's how I imagine Bob sitting on that island, sitting with a couple of escapees that found the loot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was great. Lots more to chat about with Bob. The bonsai, being an immigrant.
Yeah.
Right.
Canadian Jeff
being
bonsai
a Canadian bonsai guy, and the parallels was great fun. Looking at the caring, the long term caring of the bonsai tree,
I think there really are choices you do have
in that. Whereas with parenting, there's a lot of choices you don't have.
Yeah, I mean, if you take it too literally with the binding trees with wire, and bending them into shape, that's not quite doesn't translate to raising children. But what does translate to children is that the trees have their own natural inclinations, and bonsai is actually not about, it's not about restricting
we
them.
We learn a lot.
Actually.
We all that's normal.
It's about guiding them according to their own nature.
Yeah.
If you go against the nature of the tree, it will look tortured and wrong. So it's a very subtle, intellectual and intuitive.
Yeah.
Intuitive.
So Dan knew this, listeners, but I think you guys and me all went on this journey of thinking that might not be a good metaphor for parenting because you're binding, and then by the end of it was like, oh, right, okay, so it's not helicoptering and
there's
it's
a
not
great
lawn mowing. Have you heard the new type of parent, lawn mower parents?
It's cutting them down.
It's not cutting the kids down, but it's clearing everything off.
Oh, right, getting
in the path of them. Rather than hovering over them while they try and.
Do you know, after that, I went up for another session at his bonsai place, Chojo Feature Trees in Sassafras, which is extraordinary. Yeah. And one of the guys that works there, Luke Yauman. Yeah. Oh, is that his last name? Yeah.
Lukey. Yeah.
Luke, very tattooed Kiwi.
Yeah.
And he jumped in with us and to talk about his experience with his kids. And
yeah, yeah.
And the three of us had this huge sort of afternoon of bonsai and talking about all the kind of mental issues we've had, you know, and challenges to our to us and our kind of way of looking at things. So they're lovely blokes up there. I go as often as I can.
Yeah, I keep meaning to, but next time I'm up the hills, I know you've got somewhere to a sanctuary up on the hill.
Yeah,
Chris the plumber.
Yeah,
well, Will Thomas. You recorded Will, and that was an amazing story. Which led into
my broom ones.
Yeah. We'll get to broom ones in a minute, but Chris the plumber was that was amazing. Young fella, you know, ex rough nut, I suppose you want to call him. Sorry, Chris, but now social working and some amazing feedback. Yeah. He was probably our first professional. Even though we're talking about him being a dad, actually, we didn't even get to that. Afterwards, he said, "We didn't even talk about my fathering." I was like, "All right, well, next year."
He was talking about social work and
well, the amazing feedback he gets. You know, like what a couple of takeaways was the of all the old blokes with grown kids, not one of them ever says,
"Oh, yeah.
I wish I'd worked more." Yeah. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of regrets. Every one of them says, I wish that I hadn't cared about the extension and the fucking jet ski and the holiday house.
Yeah, getting the
extra I wish I just spent time with the kids because I can't get that back. Huge takeaways from Chris. He's awesome. And I'm just jumping forward to make sure.
To Jaden.
Jaden and then we can talk about that broom series, which was amazing. Jaden was I loved having Jaden on the show.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the diversity of fathering is, you know, limited to our who we run across.
Yeah.
In the first year of our show, obviously things are going to get
– He seemed to really have his priorities right, didn't he?
It was amazing. I saw him yesterday.
He seemed –
he's back for doing a bit of work, and he's doing some teaching, some some little course somewhere in Melbourne. He's come down to teach a little class of people somewhere.
Speaking of resilience, like, because he seems to be doing everything for the right reasons. He didn't give a shit about whether, because he was living in his truck a lot of the time and traveling.
Dad from
taking his kids.
Seymour,
a difficult country town to grow up in. And just making the best of, like, he was totally, didn't care about what material stuff he had at all. Like, it was like the experience he's having with his son and his skate brand and like it was very, very exciting.
You know someone's going to go all right, like, you know?
Well, because it won't
you
matter
see
what
at this young age when some people might go, lives in a van, what's that?
Because it won't matter
you
what
go,
he
wait
achieves.
A minute, but he's doing everything in his life for his kid. That's bigger. That's bigger than working 60 hours and having a mortgage.
There's nowhere to fall. There's nowhere to fall.
Oh, it's awesome.
Because he's not
debt free.
He's happy with what he's got too.
Yeah.
He's not you know, seeking anything other than experience and connection. Rather, you know, that was great. I suppose you have to be a certain age though to do that. It gets harder as you get older.
Yeah.
To have less shit. So
the broom series. Well, it was a bit of a highlight of this year. It was sad when Dan went away to Broome for a long period of time, but he sent back some mind-blowing interviews.
Yeah.
Speaking of diversity, what was the first one? Was it Andrew?
Andrew, the bull catcher from up north. I mean, these are some pretty extraordinary stories and people that I know up there.
But with all that, everything's got a similar thread, and that's another thing that I took away from all these guys that, you know, the family, that the Musos.
Dave Mann.
Dave Mann and his family. I follow them and I love looking at what they're doing on Instagram and they're musicians.
Yeah.
And a bit like Jaden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, fuck you. We're doing what we do. And the kids are getting love and experiences and this is awesome. And they're good Musos.
And
we,
like that was the overall thing too, is so the kids good. Aren't going to miss not having – PlayStations and things like that if they had love and connection and experiences. They'll only miss those things if the love and connection wasn't there. They'll only feel deprived of stuff if they didn't have that. And that's been across the board, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Dave Mann and his wife, Beck, and that was when he was talking about – so they're living in this house truck they've made and then they get pregnant. They have another, or she gets pregnant, and it's twins. And then they have to do the Tetris, try and figure out how to fit.
They brought the baby home to a truck.
To a truck.
That's amazing.
And they travel up and down the West Coast. Beautiful musicians, those two.
Yeah. It looks idyllic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, Broome is a place full of extraordinary. It's like
Albie Mangles, how he should have been.
Yeah. I'm talking about making some more stuff about Broome.
There's going to be another Castaway production.
Yeah.
That throws Dan out into the.
Maybe we will literally get Hugh Jackman. Well, because
okay, go ahead and do that.
I won't promise anything, but I've suddenly got a connection with him.
James Brown. James Brown.
Yeah, from the Signet Bay Pearling.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. People have got to hear these stories.
Go in and have a listen. Note the names. It's pretty much episode 19 through to 22. And then Jeff came in between that.
There's a couple in between then we had Mark, from Melbourne. Yeah.
Mark Jones.
Jonesy's my great mate who I'm going to be making films with in future, actually.
He
started a film company and a new company with someone.
Yeah, spiritual adventure. And Greg Quickie. Wow.
Quickie the astronomer, yeah. Who people called Space Gandalf, whether he liked it or not, on ABC and TV. With old Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Quickie's a man, again, a one of a kind. I went and met him on the beach at the end of my stay. That was sort of the epicenter of my difficulty with Sammy.
Yeah.
And that whole time in Broome, I was really dealing with some anxiety and some mental health issues.
Yeah.
And having those, so it was very useful. I mean, it was just lucky that I had
it was great for
my
us
microphone
all.
And
an
my
honour for us all to be able to hear.
Yeah,
this
I think
journey.
You can hear that I was losing my mind a little bit. But those guys stepped in and were really helpful and supportive. I'm eternally grateful to those blokes up there. I'm so lucky.
That adds an extra. It just adds an extra specialness to that series.
Yeah.
So I've had such a good year.
Yeah.
Next year, we've always got plans to be more professional. I mean, this year we started with the brand. It used to be What Now? And then we went Fatherhood Only. And
We're getting our
I've
flying
been constantly
hours up.
Talking to different professionals and that I meet here and there. So we're going to start talking with them now. We've got a good spread of different diversity, and then we'll keep putting our fingers out there and get more diversity.
And
and send Danny the roving reporter out.
Yeah, to get, I might do some of that. We really needed to get our flight hours up. We needed to just be on air and for a while and try to get some experience and know what we're doing and play that. Do it over a period of time. There's been no hurry, and this has been so therapeutic. And you're just so busy here at Castaway now, like doing all these other podcasts and. Mm. Through crime and all that stuff, and
I've got a job, you know.
Yeah, I know,
it's just
pretty,
my job. But we happen to do our show where I have my job, which is kind of handy, I suppose.
Yeah. But when I came in because you wanted to do this podcast to, like we said,
gain skills.
Because if you're going to be doing this for other people and using this studio to work with other people on their podcast, you need the experience. So when I started this with you 2 years ago or whenever it was, that's pretty much it was us
and Sean. Yeah.
And now you've got all these other people that come in here, Michelle Laurie and loads of different people. So seeing that all kind of grow, and now you're sort of consulting with schools and about
so this
podcasts.
Is now the lowest level of professionalness that I put into any production. Yeah. But
I also our game now.
At least I guess I'm not. You know that I'm not sitting here to gain skills anymore.
Yeah,
I'm doing that across the board, but. I'm sitting here for therapy just like you.
Yeah. But see, you've also been doing
parenting.
Some editing and producing that's been great too.
I've been doing some awesome gigs.
And so then next year, hopefully, my hope is to then just keep our kind of candid style but find some more challenging setups and techniques and more produced. I mean, you can do some of your tricks and things you've learnt. And there's loads of ideas.
Yeah. And what Dan might not know right now, but later today, he'll be breaking ground which is an expression meaning the first shovel going into a building yes. project, on our first narrative radio play that we're going to be recording here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No, what have I got to do? I haven't got anything to
do. You're writing it, Dan, and you're also in
okay.
it.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Excellent.
I forgot to mention that. Didn't I send you a text?
No. No, yeah,
we get narrative. It's the next big
wow.
thing. And we're on it. And we've got a playwright on the team. Mm. Let's milk him.
Yeah. Okay.
In a metaphorical sense.
Yeah.
Happy fucking Christmas to your family.
Yeah, you too.
Is Santa coming? How does it work at the Lee Higgins house?
Yeah, yeah. Look, we're doing all that. We're doing you put the ladder on the grass overnight in the backyard,
oh.
and then you pick it up before the kids get up, and it looks like sleigh tracks.
Get fucked.
There's a tip for that's you. Dr. Higgins used to do that because it flattens the grass, and you've got these two brilliant. Lines where the ladder was, and you can say, that's the sleigh where yeah. it landed. So there's a good one.
I've done a few things like, you know, eat the biscuits and stuff and leave the top of the carrot and stuff.
Like I wasn't really that interested until – we started thinking
what about
it.
The potatoes?
And it's fun, isn't it?
You know about the potatoes?
No.
So the idea is this is a punishment thing. So, you know, they have a stocking that has the shit in it. And I've said that you should the shit landfill presents. That
right.
Buy,
oh,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So they put up their stocking and Santa fills it. And I've been lobbying for years, as I said before, that Santa brings the stupid shit.
Yeah,
I bring the fucking good shit, the bicycles and stuff, right? And that way you don't have to bullshit when it comes down to warranties and receipts, you know, sure. taking it back and getting a different one. It's like Santa's got this reciprocal deal with the bike shop. That's
weird. Kids will overlook all that.
Yeah. Oh, they're happy to, aren't they?
They're happy to overlook
but
all that.
But the stocking thing is the potato things. Like, you know, you can't say, although I do, right, one more time. And I'm cancelling Christmas, right? You're not going to do that because no one's going to let you. It's impossible, right? It's an idle threat. But it's the potato. So, right, that's it. That's a potato. And what it is, it's one less toy. You get, and in their stock, so in their stocking, you get what you want to get because I can't stop Fiona buying stupid shit.
So you give them a little reminder on Christmas Day. Oh, it's a potato. Remember that time
when
you
had a meltdown? That's three toys you might have got. Not a meltdown. A naughty thing.
Remember when you were a fucking asshole that
your
time?
Your guys aren't
Woolworths?
Naughty yet. When they're proper naughty, when you go, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to get up in the morning and open Dad's laptop
and, you go,
and start playing. And just, they do. They've decided
I know.
It's worth it.
So you put a potato in.
Yeah, we've never done it, but we dream about it.
So on Christmas Day, you have to have it. Now we're going to have a moment of quiet to think about the time she lied to me.
What three toys would have been in there where those potatoes are? And then it overflows. You'd overflow anyway because you can't stop Fiona buying stupid shit. Like last night, she goes, oh, you know, I've just got an email from the basketball club and there's hoodies. We can order hoodies. Shall we get some hoodies? $55 each to buy a hoodie each for the kids. I'm going, Fee, get your head around this. You're saying, shall we spend $110? On Christmas present for the kids. That's how much it should be for their big present. Yeah. It's not. Clover's getting a fucking $400 bicycle, but that's another story. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, I can't rein the missus in. She just keeps rolling.
It's hard. It's hard.
She goes, Tom would love that. I said, but we've already got him a present.
Oh, look, we do it too.
Or they're going to end up like you. She goes, what do you mean? You know what you're like on your birthday. Give you a present. You go, wow, thank you, and you're very nice. Give you another one. Oh, thank you. The last present, you're looking around going, where's the next one? Fiona does that.
Get accustomed to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the way kids on Christmas, I love the way kids just open shit and then just put it down. They don't even, they open it, put it straight down, grab the next one.
I liked watching my brother's kids get to that stage where they knew they had to react. You know, it pays to react. Go, thank you. And it's real hammy at the beginning. Yeah. Like, I can't remember what age they were. I don't think my kids bother with it, but it gets really, at first it's really hammy because they're they're more impersonated.
Oh, that's so
grandma.
Much what I want.
Oh, this is wonderful. Scorched almonds. It's exactly my favorite thing.
Dad
although
wants
I can't eat nuts.
Yeah.
But it should be good. Look,
I've taught him to say, I've taught him to open it and say, oh, for fuck's sake. Put it in the re-gifting drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Train them up.
Have you got a re-gifting drawer?
No, I think Fiona has something
where you put, she puts things presents in. That someone's given you that, you know, and they would have come out of their re-gifting drawer. You've shown up at a Christmas party and they didn't expect you or something and you get the little thing. And
Fiona's got a cupboard with some weird shit in it.
Yeah.
If I was to do that, I think I'd have a notebook.
So you don't give it back to the same person?
Who gave it to me? Because I don't have a memory.
My grandfather gave Dad back the book he got the Christmas before for Christmas.
My dad's given me books going, oh, here, I don't know where this came from. You probably gave it to me, but here, I'll never use it.
My grandfather.
I only bought it because I thought it'd be cool.
My granddad used to, he'd go, oh, that's very nice, but I'll tell you what, you hold on to that, but there's a book in your bookshelf I saw last week.
Oh, well, perfect.
I'll take that. You hold on to this. Give it to someone else.
Good on you, Grandpappy.
At least it's honest.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Love to the family. Love to y'all out there and get ready for some cool action
in
2020.
We'll give them a preview at some point in the new year of what's to come.
Yeah.
It'll be bigger and better and shinier.
Yeah, we're going to do a little,
and we'll have whitened teeth, and we'll be
the videos.
We'll be wearing suits.
Yeah. Bye bye.